Can a book really change one's life in the way that actual lived experience can? The answer is plainly yes, because reading a book is as real and palpable an experience as being stung on the arm by a disturbed bee, or, less frivolously, taking part in a revolution or being present at the death of a loved one. In one of his best-known critical essays on the metaphysical poets of the 17th century, T.S. Eliot said of the poet John Donne, "A thought to Donne was an experience. It modified his sensibility." For Eliot, the mind of the poet was a crucible in which disparate experiences were combined to form new wholes. It's an exhilarating idea, capturing the way the poetic imagination works, making gold out of base elements. And it was Eliot himself, encountered by me in a northern grammar school in the late 1960s, who, with a handful of other poets, first startled me into a recognition of this sublime alchemy of words. It's often alleged that students are put off literature by the dull, analytical procedures of the classroom. But all I can remember is a young teacher reading to us the love song of J. Alfred Prufrock and being enchanted by the seductive music of this poem. Its strangeness, but also its powerful sense of reality. I didn't know exactly what it meant in the sense of its paraphrasable content, but its potency was unignorable. Imagine if one could write like this. Naturally, I started to, and the results, mercifully, were long ago shredded, but the seed had been planted. Just over a decade later, my first poem would be published in the Times Literary Supplement. As well as the great modernist Eliot, I was moved by more mainstream poetry. I borrowed my father's disintegrating copy of Palgrave's Golden Treasury, an anthology which Eliot and Pound would have coldly dismissed for its Victorian standards of taste, and devoured Keats and Shelley, Wordsworth and Coleridge. I found myself memorising whole poems so that I could chant them in my head as I bicycled to school. "My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair." Then I discovered the poetry of Gerard Manley Hopkins, for his era perhaps even more revolutionary than Eliot was in his. The magnificent, sonorous sonnet, Felix Randall the Farrier, was like an explosion. And Felix was a Scouser like me. And it wasn't just poetry. Fresh from her doctorate on Joyce's Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man, and in her first teaching job, my new English teacher introduced me to what has become one of my sacred texts. Brought up in the world of Liverpool Irish Catholicism, Joyce's landscape was sufficiently familiar to me for Stephen Dedalus and his aesthetic theories to stretch and stimulate me, his dark story to enfold me. A lifetime of excited reading lay ahead of me, and those doors flung open to new adventures of the creative imagination never closed. They never shall close.